We had a wonderful morning this morning. I believe there was 530 here on property, and we thank God for that, and thank the Lord for a good crowd up in Junior Church and a great crowd in here, and thank you for being back once again. Of course, if you were here this morning, you heard our pastor. This was Family Day, and we had a wonderful sermon this morning about the importance of family. And I want you, if you weren't able to hear that, I challenge you to go back and listen to it. It's all archived on the website, because it just shows the need to have these families that, regardless of how big or how small it is, that's centered on the Word of God. And boy, that's what we need. And so I appreciate the message this morning. And so we're so thankful to have my pastor, Amy's brother, back with us tonight. And I was preaching somewhere at a meeting, and so the pastor got up, and he knew who I was. He knew that my pastor was Brother Norris, and he just went on and on. He said, Brother Mike Norris pastors the great Franklin Road Baptist Church. He said, it's a flagship church across our nation. And he said, they've been used of the Lord. He said, great meetings and Southwide meetings and different meetings over the years. He said, a tremendous Christian school. The missions program is just off the charts. And he said, so many things just went on and on about Pastor Norris and the church. And then he said, before I preach, he said, and John is his brother-in-law. So, nothing like having an introduction doesn't have anything to do with you, but except who you're married to his sister. But that's all right. And so I certainly appreciate our speaker tonight more than he will ever know and more than I can convey in the time we have tonight. But he is a great example of all the pastors that I know that that serve and are great preachers, and I know some great ones, but he is consistent, and his ministry has just been, he's just lived his life to be above reproach as he preaches, and he commands himself with appropriateness and just always is trying to exemplify what a pastor should be. And I thank him so much for that. And I'm glad to have him as my pastor, and I'm glad for you to get to hear him tonight. So preacher, come preach for us. We're certainly glad to have you back at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, and we're looking forward to hearing you tonight and what God's given you for this hour.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you, John. God bless you. All right. Good to see everybody back tonight. Some wonderful Sunday night crowd. And thank you so much for the service this morning and being so faithful this morning, full house today. And I was here just not long ago when you all dedicated the church. And boy, I thought then, man, there's going to be plenty of room. And that has gone by the wayside. I don't know how you're going to get everybody in here Easter Sunday, but Lord will make a way. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And Brother John, I just want to say, sincerely, that you, from the get-go, from Ripley, our ministry there, and then he took a little hiatus on the back side of the desert up in Iowa, and he came back and served with us then at Franklin Road, and you were so special to our ministry. So all those nice things they said about me, I could have said, well, couldn't have done without Brother John and others that that ran alongside. And especially there in Ripley, that ministry went from 88 to over 600 in a small town of 3,000. It was an amazing place, and Brother John got right in on the front end of that. And I remember coming back from a Southwide Baptist Fellowship meeting down at Highland Park Baptist Church in Chattanooga, and I was just a young pastor, and I remember fully how God got a hold of my heart and stirred me up. And we need meetings like that where preachers get stirred up. One of the best places to backslide is in a ministry. I don't know if you knew that or not. And you just, everything just becomes old hat to you. Same old, the grind. And you get to where you're just maintaining. And I got down there, and I hadn't been in the ministry long enough to get cold and indifferent. But boy, what a meeting that was. I could tell you some of the men that preached, I could tell you what the Cruise Boys sang. I don't know if you remember that. And I got stirred up. I had a bunch of boys from Kentucky sitting right in front of me. They got to shouting. I'd never seen that at Highland Park Baptist Church. It was a little more stoic than that. Boy, they got to shouting. There must have been 5,000 people. No kidding, 5,000 people. And they got to shouting. And one old boy, he stood, they were jumping up, they had people right, it's kind of going on in our little section. I could Talbot. It was helping me. But I wasn't ready to do what he did. One time he got up on the back of that pew and balanced himself, shouting in glory, and came down. The guy sitting next to him, he threw his Bible out in the aisle and ran down and got it, shouted all the way down and all the way back. There's a guy sitting next to me that I brought with me. He was a missionary, and he just kind of get worked up. I thought, boy, now he's going to go at it. And what am I going to do? I'm going to look like a Presbyterian sitting here. And he grabbed himself. I said, what are you doing? He said, you know, I used to throw my Bible like that, but he said, I got tired of buying Bibles. He said, I tore them all up. But that was just something we experienced one night. But I came home, and I remember I preached a message. I don't even remember where it was found in the Bible. I can go back and look. I've got the notes. I preached a message entitled, It's Time We Have a Little Talk. And we had taken about 10, 12 people with us to that meeting, and we all came back fired up. And I remember our church changed dramatically after that. Of course, we were already a soul-winning, Bible-believing church and all that, but we were a small church. We felt like we could not do much in our community. And that thing took off, and Brother John came in the middle of all that, and we watched just a miracle happen in Ripley, West Virginia, and we're so thankful and grateful. And even at Franklin Road, the ministry just took off there, and we needed help, and Brother John came alongside there, and Amy as well. Amy was my secretary in both ministries, and so I've never had anybody since her that really, well, I shouldn't say that because I'm online right now, but I run across notes, Amy, almost every day where you pin some things, and I wasn't smart enough, remember enough to write them down. I have actually notes and quotes and jokes in the back of my Bible that's in her handwriting. So anyway, just tremendously valuable and such a help to us along the way. And I am so happy and thankful for what God is doing here in this place. It's a miracle church here. This has always been one of the oldest churches, the oldest church, I think, in Tennessee. And how the Lord has used it over the years. And now it's almost like you've got your second wind. And I'm grateful to see what the Lord is doing. Don't give up. Do everything you can to breathe life into this place. The Holy Spirit of God does that. But let's live good and clean and pure so that God can touch this place and anoint it. And you've got a leader that is pure. You got a leader who is biblically correct. Those two things right there are amazing in themselves. You'd be amazed at the men that are pastors of churches, that they make the church all about them, and they're not servants. And Brother John is a servant. Now I say that not because he is supposed to come in and serve you in a shepherd sense, he is, but he came to this ministry to get in the yoke with you, that all of you would serve one another and be a blessing. And you're doing that. Enjoy the music today, the choir, the specials. See my nieces, hear them sing. I couldn't see them where I'm sitting at. And enjoyed a wonderful meal today. Got to enjoy dinner, lunch, whatever y'all call it here, with the Stovers and the pastor and his wife and family. And he is an adjunct member of Franklin Road Baptist Church. And they have a business down there as well. He's got several of those. And so we went out to eat with them, had a wonderful time, and we're so thankful. I do want to say just a couple things before I have you stand. And I want to thank you for your kind hospitality. In the brief time that I've been here, the Joshua House is off the hook. One of the nicest places I think I've ever stayed. And for all of you who contributed to purchase it, to remodel it, put your time in and getting it all decorated and all of that, it did not go unnoticed. And I think there's been somebody else that stayed there. I'm not the first, but I'm the first that signed the guest book. I want you to go and read that. And don't proofread it, just read it and just assume I meant what I said. But it was my wife was supposed to be with me. She could not come, but she would have enjoyed that as well. And the food basket, oh my goodness. I remember when we would, as preachers, guest preachers, we'd thank them for the fruit basket. And then after a while, you get thinking, you know, you can only eat so many apples and oranges and bananas. And then churches started enhancing those. Well, they're not fruit baskets, although there's fruit in there. I did eat the bananas, not the oranges. But I mean, there is everything in there from beef jerky to cashews to Pringles to I mean, it was a wonderful one. There's stuff in there I haven't even got to yet. I've not dug down in far enough. But thank you for all of that. The nice time, Brother John, the meals of fellowship, and what a wonderful, wonderful place this is. And don't ever take it for granted, because as the bookman just said a while ago, there's not very many places around the country like this. And I'm so thankful for it. And looking forward to having you, I guess, soon. You're in this part? 2 weeks. All right. Let's stand together, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I want to preach a message tonight to the church family, if I could. I'm going to pick up reading in verse number 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul was just preaching about how changed lives get involved in ministry and the work of God, and how the Lord Jesus Christ is the basis of our ministry. We pick up now, the theme continues in chapter 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, committing ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. I draw your attention to verse number 1 of chapter 4. And I do not know if you have a habit of reading the Bible out loud in unison, but we do that at our church. And that big old crowd just reads together the same words. I do it for several reasons. One reason, it's my text verse, and I want them to consider what the Word of God is saying to them. But the other reason is to make sure everybody's reading from the same Bible. All right, let's read verse number 1 together out loud in unison. Ready? Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. I'm going to speak on this subject for just a while tonight. Seeing we have this ministry. Father, bless your word. Give me your help tonight, please, as I preach. And I pray you'll use this message to help this church along the way. We pray in these dark times, we ask you in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. May be seated. Seeing we have this ministry. I remember years ago, as I pastored there in West Virginia, we had a bus barn, and we didn't have any buses. The pastor before us, you may recall in the 70s, the gas prices went real high. I can remember paying, no joke, I'm going to get a testimony here in just a minute. I can remember paying 69 cents a gallon for gas. How many of y'all remember those days? Come on, look at that. And all of you looking around, hey, I stopped at Bucky's and paid $2.85 for it the other day, and coming up here, and I was shouting glory hallelujah, pulling out of there with a brisket sandwich in one hand and chips in the other. But who would ever thought that you rejoice of gas for $2.85 a gallon? Well, across the street is $3.25. Well, who'd ever thought that? And I remember when gas shot up real high. I remember those days. I was driving a 1978 Chevrolet. I said, Chevrolet pickup. Jacob passed over the Ford. That's all in the Bible. You can look that up. It's all right in there. And so I already made half my crowd mad. But you Subaru people are still with me, aren't you? But so it shot up, and the previous pastor and his administration, they sold all the buses off. And how I want to get back in the bus ministry. And I remember praying about that. And I remember that I don't know how I preached on the bus ministry. One night I did. And one of our ladies, she said, I'm going to buy your first bus. And she put money in the offering plate. I remember, Brother John, we went up in Ohio somewhere and we bought that bus and drove it back down. And we're just getting started. We had four vans. About the time this was all happening, they passed the law that you could only put 15 people in a van. And by the way, that was a smart law, because we had some time. I won't tell you how many we had in. We had a whole lot in there. We had to open up the windows to breathe. But anyhow, probably a good law. But we knew we had to have a bus. So we got a bus, and then we thought, well, if we work on this thing, we need to get this bus barn. Now, the bus barn over the years had become a junk hole. It had become a place where we just stored everything. I mean, whatever we didn't want in the church house, we stored in the bus garage. And it had an old green fiberglass door, and you went out there, and you raised that thing up partway, and it'd go crooked on you, and you beat and thumped on it. When you got it all the way up, you could tell why you didn't come in the man door, the walk-through door, because you couldn't get in. You could not. You raised the door. It was nothing but junk. And I remember it was about the time I came back from that meeting, and I was fired up, wanted to do something for God, reach as many people as we could, and we was going to get our first bus, and I wanted to open that bus barn back up. So I had a meeting, and I told the men, I said, we're going to have a work day on Saturday morning. We're going to start at 7 o'clock. We're going to get you a biscuit from McDonald's, and we're going to have a great time. We went out there, and I remember we had a big work team, and we had a dumpster set in. We filled that dumpster up, and I remember we went back in there and went to work hauling the junk out. We got the junk out, and we had a saying up in West Virginia. Anybody here from West Virginia? Okay, great. Y'all can translate for me. If my eyes roll back in my head and I start speaking an unknown tongue, you be an interpreter, okay? We got enough of those, all right? And so we had this saying up there. Well, seeing how we're going to do this, we might as well do this, seeing how. And an old boy came up to me. He said, preacher, he said, what are you going to do with all this junk laying around? I said, well, I hate to throw it away. He said, well, seeing how we got all this stuff here, let's go ahead and put a place in here to store all this. We had a big gospel tent, and a guy said, well, you know, we don't need to leave this gospel tent on the floor. Let's get it picked up. So seeing how we're going to try to do the best job we can, let's build a loft up in this thing. And they went, we did all this one day. And like Amish, we had a barn raising. And they went and they bought the lumber and they put a big deck up there and they lifted all that sides and top of that tent up in there, put all the poles up in there. And then one guy said, had a truss up in there where somebody had tried to raise a bus motor out of a bus and they broke the truss down. It was hanging down. One fellow said, seeing how we're going to try to get this all done like you want, preacher, let's go ahead and put that back in there. And they went up and went and repaired that truss. Another guy owned a Gravely Tractor Dealership. He ran down to his store and he got a bunch of bins. We sorted out all the nuts and bolts and lights and parts. We had theatrical lights in there. We had microphones. We had cords. We had speakers. We had drywall. We had lumber. We had everything you could think of was in there. And they said, you know, preacher, seeing how we're going to do the best job we can, let's just get this thing right. I'll never forget that day. And when we were finished, no joke, when we were finished, it was getting ready to turn dark, and we walked out of that garage, and you could eat off the floor. It was beautiful. It was perfect. And what I'm saying is this. Somebody saw a job, and they wanted to do the best job they could with that. And so they decided to come together as a group, and there was a teamwork. Teamwork makes the dream work. And I remember we came together, and we accomplished that job. I've watched that dynamic in our church in West Virginia, and in our church in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, be played out again over and over and over. Seeing we have this ministry. Seeing we have this ministry. Tonight on this family night, I like to kind of change gears and come out of the home and come in the church house. And your second family is your church family. I hope you feel that way. I feel that way. I remember when we moved to Murfreesboro, Tennessee from Ripley Baptist Temple, we didn't know anybody. We knew the pastor. We knew a couple of staff members. We didn't know anybody. And so my wife and I, we would sit there. I was co-pastor the first year. And so we would sit there and we'd look at the people and we didn't know anybody's name. So we called them out. We said, the one that looks like Jim and Doris Waybright, that couple. Or the one that looks like Lester and Wanda Bledsoe, that people. One that looked like, I can't think of that. But we would name people by how they looked. And I don't know, did you do that here? Probably did. So you all probably have two names right here. But I remember before long, we became a family. And we felt like a family. And to this day, right now, just last night and this morning, I prayed for many of our church family. Your second family is your church. It's known in the Bible as the household of God. It's known as the family of God. I like that old song, I'm so glad I'm part of the family of God. And it's known as the body. It's known as the bride of Christ, a building fitly joined together, a flock with a shepherd, a temple, and many, many other names. The church is known as a gathering, as a congregation. People that come together, like-minded people. Now, there are differences in here. Some of you like one football team. Others of you like another football team. And I don't know. Well, I won't get into all that. We'll be here all night fussing, arguing. We'll have a fight before we get out if I start talking about college football. And same way with cars, and same way with backgrounds, and same way with some of you lived in one part of America, others moved and live in another part of America. The family that joined today, I think, joined from out west somewhere, northwest, I think, and I had a chance to talk. I was sitting up here, I felt so at home that whenever you all took the vote for the new family, I voted A. I told them going out, we're the new family. I said, well, I voted for you today. I'm not a member here, but I voted for you. So, you know, there's nothing like the family of God. And what Paul is saying right here, he's saying, now you got a ministry, and Jesus Christ is the one that we're serving. And seeing we have this ministry, he mentions several things he wants us to do. Kind of like that bus garage, seeing how we've got this barn we need to clean up right here for the glory of God. So we can work on buses, seeing how we got all this. Let's do the best job we can. And let me just say this. You've got a ministry here. That's a tremendous ministry, has a wonderful reputation, a wonderful background. You've got a good stand. So while we're here, let's do the best we can. He gives us several thoughts about this here. Look at verse number one. It says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry. First of all, number one, if you want to take some notes tonight, we ought to see that we all have this ministry. See that we all have this ministry. Look what the Bible says. It says, seeing we, the word we, have had this ministry as we have received mercy. Now, so the Bible tells us who should be seeing the ministry. Those that have received mercy. We get the word mercy from the Old Testament, what is called the mercy seat. The mercy seat was that golden seat that was there behind the veil inside the ark. It was a very, very holy place. And that mercy seat was sprinkled with blood on the Day of Atonement. It was a special place, and it represented Jesus Christ. So when you and I talk about mercy, we're talking about the mercy bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary. You and I have received that mercy. How many say amen to that? You're glad you're washed in the blood of the Lamb. And so you and I, of all the people, need to be able to see the ministry, those that have received mercy. Let me ask you this question. How many have received mercy? Say amen. Hold your hand up, boat. Amen. So you are the ones that should be able to see the ministry. The people in some other church can't see what you see in this church. The unsaved around us, your neighbors around, they don't understand. They can't see what you see. But you should be able to see and envision and focus on what God has for you to do in this church. Don't worry about my church. Don't worry about the other dozens of churches in this area. Your concern is with this church. And never forget that. This is your church. This is your family. We pray for the others, but this is where God wants you to catch the vision. Now, by the way, your pastor has a vision. I know a little bit about that. He and I talk from time to time. I know what he'd like to see happen here. And I know that God is already working out that vision in a very expedited way. And let me just say, I think one reason for that is because Jesus Christ is coming again. Folks, it's too late to just kind of play church. We better get excited about the church of the living God. And so he sees the vision, and you may not be able to see exactly what he sees, but you're able to catch on as you listen to him preach, as you watch his programs. If you just read the bulletin or look at the calendar here, you understand that he has a goal. He has a plan for this ministry, and you and I ought to do all we can to see that ministry. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, catch the vision, I'm saying. Catch the vision, every facet of it. The Sunday school, the Spanish church, the bus ministry, the choir, the music ministry, the mission ministry. And this goes on and on and on and on. And thank God for it. First of all, we should see that we all have this ministry. I'm just saying get involved. Get involved. Find a way to find your place in this ministry. I'll get that in just a moment. Number one, see that we all have a ministry. Number two, see that we faint not in this ministry. See that we faint not in this ministry. The Bible says this, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we've received mercy, we faint not. The word means we don't falter. We don't quit. Now watch this. The Bible predicted a day when there'll be a great falling away, a great apostasy. People would apostatize. That is a whole different message. I'm not going to go into all that. But I want you to understand and wake up to this fact that we are living in an age right now in a culture of full-blown apostasy. And by that I mean stadiums are full and churches are half empty. By that I mean that churches that once fanned the flames of revival and Bible preaching have gone by the wayside. One by one by one, they're dropping off, walking away from the truth. And I'm just here to say this. They have quit. They have found the way hard and they have fainted. They have stopped the race. Don't you ever do it. Don't you ever do it. Don't quit on God. Don't walk away. Don't give up. Get in, get involved, and faint not. Great churches are churches that just keep on going, keep on going. By the way, you ought to thank God for your forefathers down through the years, especially Brother Lashley, who probably served here the longest, that kept the doors open, kept the fires of revival burning, kept preaching the same old book, the same old doctrine. You ought to thank God for those folks. Now, this train is hooked on. It's moving into a new culture with the same old book and the same old doctrine. Get hooked into that. People think they want a wishy-washy church. People think they want hands raised, worship, come as you are, leave as you were. You think you want that kind of ministry until you get inside of it and you miss hearing the truth. And by the way, in this age of apostasy, truth has fallen in the street and justice can't get through. The Bible predicted this back in Isaiah, and understand that you ought to thank God, even though maybe it doesn't resonate with you like it should, you ought to thank God that you come to a place that preaches the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, a soon coming Savior, washed in the blood of Jesus. You ought to thank God you still have a church like that, because there's not many of them. And because of that, we should not faint. We should not hold back the coattails. We should not tie down the leadership of this church. We ought to get behind them, move forward with our prayers and everything else, our support. Number one, see that we all have a ministry. See it, catch a vision. Number two, see that we faint not. Don't quit. Don't quit. Number three, write this down. See that we maintain our integrity in the ministry. See that we maintain integrity in this ministry. The Bible says in verse 9, those involved in the ministry in this church at Corinth, which had been a very worldly church, now the second book is coming on fire for God. He said, I want you to see the ministry. I want you to not quit. But number two, he says, but this church have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, committing ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. So in this ministry, it is to be a ministry of integrity. You know, churches require integrity and character of their leadership, and they should. I wish America would get back to requiring integrity and character in our leaders. But we require it in the church, and we should. But God requires it in all of us. The Bible says that the church that's involved in a visionary ministry will renounce the hidden things of darkness. That means no graphic language in the church, no suggestive talk in the church, no untruthful statements made in the church. But we preach the church of the truth of the living God, and we walk in that way. He says, don't walk in craftiness. Don't handle the word of God deceitfully. Help me understand that in this day and age, a lot of people take the Bible and they make it say what they want to say instead of what God says. And that's where we get our false cults. And that's where we get false doctrine. And may I say, I'm not your pastor. I'm not going to go off on a hobby horse right here. But I could talk about right now just in areas of prophecy, in areas of salvation, how people completely miss what the Bible is saying about that. There's only one way to heaven. I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, said Jesus Christ in John 14. Jesus Christ said, trump shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, the false teachers say, you're going through the tribulation period. You're not going through it. We're going to get close to it, but we're not going to go through it. I mean, it's lining up right now, and everything that you and I are seeing right now, there's no more prophecy that needs to be fulfilled. None. But what you and I are seeing right now is what's going to take place in the tribulation period, and all of us being set up, the mark of the beast, the one world bank, one world religion, one world government. Let me just say this, with the great reset and so forth that's out there in the new world order, we're on the precipice of the rapture, because it's all going to take place just like we're seeing right now. We're not in the tribulation period, but we're that close to it. We need to get our eyes open. I don't know how I got off on that other than to say that we need to preach the truth. We don't need to cover up what God said He would do. When we get in the pulpits and we sit in church and still preach that hell is hot, it's eternal, you never get out. As a little boy, because of that one thing right there, it led me to make a decision earlier in my life than maybe I would have, because my preacher preached on hellfire and Jesus Christ the only way out of it. You and I need to hear the truth preached on a regular basis. We don't hide that stuff. We don't veil it. We renounce all that stuff. And by manifestation of the truth, we don't handle the Word of God deceitfully, but we make it known. Watch this word. Committing ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. The word conscience talks about what a person thinks on the inside, what a person believes on the outside, and that is on the inside. That is the people we have around us. And you and I are to commend ourselves to those around us. The word commend means that we are to put ourselves on exhibit. Committing ourselves. There's a silent work that's going on all the time. And your testimony is being watched all the time. I'm talking about the people of this church. When you see the ministry, you don't just say, well, Pastor Herbman is supposed to keep a clean life. No, we're all supposed to keep a clean life. All of us. And the more of us will do that, the more we'll make an atmosphere for the Spirit of God to come down in our services. It'll open up this community like a wide open door if we keep our lives right with God. I remember this thought popped out of me. I was preaching this passage years ago in Canton, Ohio. And our son was with us, Joel, and my wife. And we had a break between the morning services and the evening services. And there's a little mall right there, so we went over to the mall. And my wife said, I'm going to do a little shopping. Now, as a man, I'm just not into shopping. I want it, I go get it, I pay for it, I come back out. How many men like that? All right, good. But now that's you. That's not women. We thank God for our wives, don't we? My wife, she looks at everything. She could come out of a store. She'd look at everything, come out with nothing. And so that's her, and praise God for it. I've learned to enjoy that. I've never figured it out, but I learned to enjoy it. And there's just one part of that I cannot stand. That is the sound of that hanger going across that metal bar. She's looking at dresses. I thought, what is wrong with those other 20? And she'll get another act. I just can't stand that. So therefore, I told my wife, I said, honey, you go ahead and go shopping, and me and Joel will sit right here and we'll wait on you. We sat down on the bench inside that very, very busy mall, and back when you could safely go to a mall. And we sat there, and right across from us was a sporting goods store, sport clothing and sporting goods. They had two big old windows there, and they had what I thought was mannequins in the window. And there's two on this side, two on the other side. And I'm sitting there just kind of minding my own business. And all of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye, I thought I saw one of those mannequins move. And I thought, I'm young. I'm not crazy yet. That's all changed. But I thought, did I just see that thing move? We're sitting there. We're about maybe 20 feet from that window. And so I just started looking at those mannequins. I thought, boy, they sure do look real. Man, that looks real. And all of a sudden, one mannequin scratched, and they reset their pose. And And I looked at the other side, and if you watch them long enough, they would readjust themselves and they'd reset the post. I've never seen that. It's one of the best advertising things I've ever seen. I said, "Hey, Joel, you want to have fun?" He said, "Yeah." We went up there, and boy, when they were striking that pose, they were just so serious, like they were running or whatever, or playing football or whatever. They'd strike that pose. Me and Joel, we went up and we stuck our nose right on that glass. We just started making faces like that. And one of the young girls got so tickled, she just went off the place laughing, slapping her knee laughing. And then I noticed they all went off and they changed clothes and they came back. I thought, this is so cool. And then I noticed something else. I noticed that people were going in and out of that store. They were flooding it. They were coming out with bags. There's probably some kind of sale on. That was one of the busiest stores in that whole mall. And I'm going to tell you why. It's because they put themselves on exhibit in an exciting way. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You're on exhibit in your home, moms and dads. You're on exhibit down to the workplace. They're watching you. You are on exhibit when you go to the store. You're on exhibit in your neighborhood, and the idea is to commend yourselves. We're supposed to be on. You're on exhibit whether you like it or not, and you ought to do the best you can to have the right testimony in front of the people around you and the people see you. You say, "Preacher, are you saying I'm to put on the show, put on the dog?" I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying you carry the name of Jesus Christ everywhere you go, and you should never forget that. And people begin to look at you and say, "Well, where do they go to church at?" Well, they go down Buffalo Ridge or up to Buffalo Ridge. I don't know if I'm up or down, which, by the way, it's so beautiful here. It reminds me of West Virginia. That may be a good thing, maybe a bad thing. Maybe that's why he's here. I don't know. But anyhow, so this matter of the family of God here, see we have the ministry, see that we faint not, see that we maintain integrity, number four, whatever number we're on, see that we maintain our purpose, see that we maintain our purpose. Now, there's a lot of reasons you may think this church is here, but let me share what the Bible says. The ministry. We're talking now about the ministry. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now, this is letting your light shine. Understand this. The purpose for this church is to bring glory to God. And one of the many ways we do that is not just through our praise time, in our worship, true, sincere worship. But one of the best ways to give glory to God is to do what He loves best, telling other folks about Him, getting the gospel out about Him. And if the gospel of Jesus Christ is hid because the church has decided that they don't want to look like some kind of a freak show or some kind of cult, and we hide the gospel, we don't tell folks what the Word of God says about how to be saved, then this world around us will remain lost. They'll remain blinded. God left the plan of salvation and this thing called soul winning and evangelism to the church. That is our purpose. That's why we're here. And don't ever forget that. The Great Commission, as Jesus left, He said that we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Our job is missions locally and regionally and around the world. Our church in West Virginia became a regional church. People from around the area started coming. Not just our city. Remember old Dr. John Powell, pastored a very exciting church in Wadsworth, Ohio, years ago. And he came down and preached for us. He took me out to eat at Shoney's, and he pulled out a napkin. He pulled his pen out of his pocket, and he put a picture of our church with the cross on. He said, "Here's your church." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Now, here's your community." He drew a circle around that. And then he said, "You ought to do all you can." He said, "You need to take a compass, go to a map," back in the days when we didn't have all the GPS stuff, "get a compass, get a map, and put that right on your church and draw a 10-mile radius around that." Now, 10 miles for you may not sound like much, but in West Virginia, if you'd rolled out flat, it's as big as Texas. So travel 10 miles a week. I mean, remember those hollers out in on Pigeon Roost out in that area? We had a little town called Gay, West Virginia. We really did. Anyway, that was just the name of the town. I got going. And so we had a bus board over here. It said Sandyville. It said Kenna, Evans, Gay. And then we put the number, how many people on those routes. And people come in, they look at that. I said, yeah, we run into the gay community. They had to scratch their heads. People wanted to change the name of it, and they didn't. They wouldn't let them because that was the name of it. And terminology all changes. But I remember all that. And I remember that we did our best to keep the purpose of that church out there. And by the grace of God, that church is still a soul-winning church. Don't ever forget that the Great Commission is to go into all the world. And then he said, now you draw that. And then he said, here's the circle God will draw. He said, God will draw a circle around you 30 miles. And by the way, we watched that happen. And I said all that to say this. That's exactly what's happening with this church right here. You take care of the people inside that 10, 12, 15 mile radius. God take care of the people around that if that's what God wants them to do. And I'm so thankful for that. See that we maintain our purpose in the ministry. Number five, write this one down. See that we all fight the devil. We all fight the devil with in this ministry. Look what the Bible says. It says, verse number four, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in them. We need to understand there's a real live, walking, talking devil, and he's never more successful when he makes you think he doesn't exist. And this church has a mark on its back, and Satan's going to do everything he can to take this place down. And you and I ought to commit right now. This is the place that God allows me to come to church. This is my family. This is my home away from home. And I'll do everything I can to keep Satan from getting his foot inside the door of this church. Now, I'm going to tell you what, he's done it, and he is doing it all across our land. And I'm thankful and grateful that you all have held this thing together, and you ought to make a decision tonight to always do that. Don't let little things stop you from doing the work of God. See that we maintain our fight in this ministry. And then here's the last thought. See that we maintain servanthood. See that we maintain our servanthood. Verse number five. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus Christ. Paul says, I'm going to serve you because Christ served me. And in so serving, you should serve others. Now, this is talking about how we relate to the people inside the ministry and even outside the ministry to a certain extent. They're evangelized, but the people inside the ministry, we are to learn. We're taught to serve each other. Areas of service. One of the hardest things for me in ministry, in these late years of ministry, in this culture we live in, is finding people to serve. I could say like this, it's even hard to pay people to serve. We have a Christian school of over 700 students. We're always looking for people. There was a day that I used to be able to say, you know, we want you to work here. We don't want anybody to leave or go anywhere else. But if you don't want to work here, it's okay. And I would say something really, really stupid. I'd say, because we have people standing in line that would love to come to this ministry. That's not been true for a long time. We have young people now going to Bible colleges, preparing. They get out of Bible college and they find another job. And maybe that's what God's called them to do. I don't understand that, but maybe that's how the Lord led them. But it's made this little market, if I can say it like this, or place that we go get our staff for our churches that we actually pay, it's hard to find them. It all has to do with ministry. Ministry's hard. It's tough. When you start looking at the giant of ministry as you prepare to go into full-time ministry, it becomes something that you think, well, how am I going to make it? How am I going to maintain? That trickles down into the pew of the church. If you can't get people that you give them, or it's, I shouldn't say can't, when it's hard to get people that you get insurance and different perks and you pay, get a salary and get them to serve God, find them. We're looking for people now for next year. Then how that trickles down in the church is it's lay work there. No one's paid for what they do. And don't ever get to the place where you say, well, I would do that if I would get some recognition. That never was part of the plan. There was part of it. And we're going to maintain a ministry here. We got to be able to see it. See where our spot is in that ministry. Years ago, I learned it this way. I remember when my wife and I joined the Ripley Baptist Temple, I had a chance to actually pastor the church that I was a member of. We were married, and I hadn't been married very long. We started to go into church there. We joined the church, and I remember one day one of the deacons came to me, and he said, I'd like for you to take up the offering. That scared me to death. I thought, take up the offering? Get up and take a plate and pass a plate where there's money in it. And I told him then, I said, I don't think I could do it. Man, I got so scared. And then the pastor said, Brother Mike, we want you to become an usher. We want you to take up the offering. I said, what do I got to do? Have to have some training? No. He said, just whenever we call for the plates, just go back, get your plate, come down front. Well, I knew what that meant. I knew when he called those four guys down there, and back in the old days, we called the ushers down front, and we prayed. And he would call on somebody there to pray. And I thought, if he calls on me to pray, I'm going to die right there in front of everybody. I remember I had a week to prepare. And I remember my wife went out and bought me a tie. I didn't. If I had a tie, it looked like goober. I mean, it was probably up here or something, you know. And I remember she went out and bought me a tie and all that. And I remember the next service, they called on me to come forward, the usher to come forward. And lo and behold, he asked me to pray. I have no idea what I said. I like to think I prayed for the offering, but I was so glad that was over. I went back and took up the offering. I didn't drop the plate. But I'm going to tell you something. When I got back in my seat, I felt like I really did something. I really felt like that God was so pleased with me that I took up the offering. From there, it went to the bus ministry. From there, it went to, long before I was ever called to preach. From there, it went to the bus ministry. There, it went to a lay youth pastor. We didn't have a youth pastor back in those days. And soul winning. I remember how God just got a hold of my life because I decided that I was going to find my place and serve God. I could tell you story after story after story. But I found my place to serve. Do you see the ministry? Can you see it? This church is not just a religious gathering inside these Tri-Cities. This church is a lighthouse. It's a city set on a hill. This church, and you look at it like that, is the last bastion of hope for the people around you. I know you think the local government is important, and it is. I know you think that local businesses, as they're growing and booming, is what it's all about, and they have their place. But there's no place like this place for God to come in and drop down and work. I want you to see that. Don't miss that. Seeing we have this ministry, let's stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Thank you for your attention tonight. In a family, everybody does their part. We all had our jobs as a young man growing up. And if somebody didn't do their part and the chain was broken or something let down, usually there was some admonition from my parents. And can I say, we should not let any job go unfilled. We should be daily having the right testimony in our community. Father, tonight, I ask you to speak to hearts. Lord, I know just a little bit about the vision the pastor has for this church, but he's the pastor. I don't remotely know all of it. But Lord, I pray that the people under the sound of my voice would hook on and make this a family that's prosperous and a family of God that sees regular converts, that you allow them to grow and meet the needs of the people around them here and serve others. And bless us, please, tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I'm going to ask them to play softly right now. In just a moment, I'm going to have Brother Dan sing. Would you let God have his way in your life tonight? I want to say this tonight. Pastor Norris, tonight, I want to ask God to give me a fresh vision of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Would you put your hand up real high? Fresh vision. I want to ask God to do that. Put up real high. I'm going to ask God to do that tonight. God bless you. Many hands right there. Thank you so much. Once you get hooked into it, find your spot here. Tonight, would we come to this altar and just tell God, dear God, give me a fresh vision tonight. Dear God, send us revival in this greater Tri-Cities area. Maybe let the revival start right here. Tonight, maybe you just need to revisit your testimony in your workplace, in your neighborhood. Understand you're committing yourselves to those around us. You're on exhibit, whether you like it or not, you're on exhibit. Tonight, if you're not sure that heaven's your home, you're in the best place you can be to come to the Lord. We love to have you come and be saved tonight. There'll be somebody down front. They'll take their Bible and show you how you could be a born-again Christian tonight. Father, we love you and thank you for the chance we have to preach and come to this place. Thank you for this tremendous ministry. And I pray you'll help us, Lord, please, to serve you in the days ahead. Make this a wonderful spot, a spot of revival, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God, speak in your heart. Why don't you leave your seat and come? We'll meet you down front. Come on, would you? Come on. Join these that are here. Seeing we have this ministry, we'll just go ahead and just do the best we can while we're here. Jesus is coming again. Find a spot to get busy. Ask them just to play softly right here for just a moment. We'll sing another verse in just a moment. You're here this evening, you're not sure that heaven's your home. This next verse is for you. God wants to have his way in your life. Why don't you just give yourself to him? There'll be somebody here that'll help you with that. Tonight, if you've been saved, not been baptized, would you come and just tell the pastor, I need to take care of that. And he'll set a time for you to do that. If you'd like to join this church, the doors are open. They'll help you with all that tonight. We'll sing this verse. It's for you. Can you come, would you? Thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the chance we had just to revisit our purpose and the plan you have laid out before us. I pray you'll help us to be the church, the congregation you'd have us to be in these days as we wait for you to come and get us. May you be pleased with us, please. We ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, preacher, for that wonderful message and all that he said. That was wonderful. And I want to challenge each of you to take it to heart and maybe go back and listen to it again, because I was just writing several things down about all that needs done around here. You know, we've been trying to, we've been praying for the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into our harvest, and we're praying for missionaries to get to surrender to the Tri-Cities area and get our bus ministry revamped and going stronger than it is. And we thank God for everything that got done today, but we want to go forward. I'm thinking about teachers that need to be in those classes before those children get here. And then in our adult classes, I was talking to Rick Payne today about our security. We need folks that would help with security. If you have an interest in that, and we'll background check you and do all those things and get you training with Rick and the medical team that helps whenever things go awry here in the services or somewhere on the property. And parking teams, we need some of those to help people get moved into the different places as they park, and ushers and all of that. There's so many other things. And I know it's not fair maybe just to give a broad appeal to everyone, but that's all I can do at this point because the setting that we're in. But I do give a broad appeal to each of you. Talk to Brother Dan. Talk to me. Talk to Daniel when he gets back. Talk to Brother Kyle and just say, I'd like to do something. And we come and ask people when we can, but it's so much nicer when we don't think we're teaming up on you, you know, and sneaking up on you. But I love our choir. We want to see it grow. We've made it so this wall can come out another one. We can add another row of choir when we get there. You say, well, it's already full, but we've already thought of that when we remodeled in here, and so we can make more room, and we want to do all of these things, and I want you to be a part of all of it, and I thank God for the preacher that came tonight to remind us of what we have here, because all that he's coming from as an outsider and seeing what the Lord is doing. And I thank God for his insight tonight. So we appreciate him, and I hope that you'll get a chance to greet him before you leave tonight. And so it's been a joy to be here all day long. So I'm going to ask him and my family, if you don't mind, to slip out. We can all stand back together. And I want to, this important announcement. Next Sunday is Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday. And because of the numbers that we've been having over the last month and a half, we have decided late in the game, I know, late in the game, but we've decided to have an 8:30 service next Sunday morning. So all that will be going on at 8:30 is in this room. We won't have nursery. We won't have children's classes. We'll just be here in this service. Now, that may fit good with your schedule. And if it does, please make that your plan for next Sunday morning. It'll be identical messages, best I can. They're a work of art, each one of them. You know how they are. I'll be preaching. I'll attempt to preach the same message, but that's a total joke. But so they'll be identical in that regard, but it'll be different. So all choir will be singing just like normal. Every choir member, please be here at 11 o'clock in your place. Be over on the sides. Be everywhere. We'll have a great time at that 11 o'clock hour. So we know that 8:30 will be a little different. We'll have an ensemble up here singing in place of the choir. We'll have special music, and then I'll have the resurrection message. But I believe that if that fits into your schedule best, then that will alleviate some of the pressure on the seating on the 11 o'clock hour and allow us to have a great day. I've hesitated to give a number out there, but we might as well just go. Would you pray that we'd have over 700 in church on Easter Sunday? It'd be a wonderful, wonderful crowd. That'd be the most in a long time. And so we would be, it would be wonderful. And speaking of that, as the crowd would come, even if we do have some relief from the 11 o'clock at the 8:30, we're still going to have an issue of parking because Sunday school will be at 10 and then the other service at 11. So if you're able to park over here, you won't have to for the 8:30 service, but if you're able to and get across the way at 11 o'clock for the service, then park over on the other lot, park maybe at the tire store or park here, right here at this little insurance office. There's about 6 spots there. And as you begin to park over there, if you're going to park continually, just to remind everybody, this door right here behind Miss Marianna Cole, it goes right down a few steps and then goes out, and it's an easier way sometimes if you're up here on this side of it, or this door does the same. And I know that these are good problems, but they're still problems. We just have to work through them, and it's a wonderful thing to have to make these kind of choices. Amen. Thank you for what you're doing, but let us all say, praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you for being in church tonight. I hope you get by to see Pastor Norris before you leave. And if we can be a blessing to you in any way, stop by and see us, Brother Dan, Brother Kyle, myself. We'd love to help you. God bless you. Pray for Easter Sunday. Pray that God would do something miraculous here on this property. You're dismissed. Mm-hmm.